Good morning, 809, News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining us now by phone, we have Chief Deputy at the Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office, Shane Tucker. Chief, welcome back to the show, sir.
Well, good morning, sir. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. It's going to be a nice 80 all week, no rain, sun. I'm excited. It seems kind of perfect.
Almost perfect.
That's exactly right. I take 77 over 80, but I will live with 80 over 90 or 100 or 115 like I lived in Phoenix. You guys had a shooting, over the weekend, last week in Pace?
Thursday night in Pace. It occurred in a home, man was shot in the leg by another man who'd entered the home with a gun. Now the suspect was an ex-boyfriend or ex-husband of another person inside the home, and at the time of the shooting there was an active restraining order prohibiting contact between these two individuals, but he busted up in there brandishing a gun and ultimately shot a person in the leg. Now thankfully the person was treated for injuries and is going to be okay, and ultimately, the suspect was captured by a Pensacola police officer, so we're certainly grateful to PPD for the assistance in that. But that menace is off the street and won't be able to do that for some time.
So he was in Escambia County at the time that he was arrested, if it was a PPD arrest, is that right?
Yes. He fled from the scene there, and we boloed the information. We got that out to our partners across the panhandle, and PPD is just Johnny on the spot. They picked him up.
Wow, that's very good. You know, you make me realize I've never really understood the restraining order functionality very well. Can you maybe take a second and explain, like, how do you get them? What do they actually do? How effective are they? Because I've got questions in this area that you remind me I don't really know much about.
Sure. You know, in our society, ultimately, there's certain people that cannot engage in healthy relationships. They engage in violence and abusive type behaviors. And we have the right granted to us to associate with whomever we choose to do so. If you and I want to hang out, we have that right. And, you know, that's covered by our First Amendment. We can associate and have a relationship with who we want to do so. But when people commit violence or threaten violence, when they threat the physical safety of an individual, the courts can step in with a restraining order and prohibit them from contacting certain people or engaging in certain behavior. And, you know, you hear the pejorative all the time, well, a restraining order is just a piece of paper. While that's true, in a sense, what the restraining order does is give some enforcement capability to law enforcement when those sanctions are violated. So if I'm restrained from contacting you, merely by contacting you, I've opened myself up to arrest. So what it does is just give us as law enforcement some teeth, if you will, in order to stop abusive behavior.
So it as is obvious, the paper itself will not prevent somebody from doing something illegal, doing something stupid or violent, but it will give the police the ability to intervene, to take action, and certainly make consequences a little bit different. How hard are they to get? Like, do you have to demonstrate that somebody is a danger? Can you just say, I don't like this person, they make me feel scared, and get one? I mean, how does that work?
No, there has to be for a domestic violence injunction, you have to fall within the parameters of domestic violence. You're related by blood or marriage, or you have a child in common, or you reside together as a family unit. And there has to be some credible reason to believe that violence has occurred or is a possibility. You know, I could not just very easily petition the court for an injunction against you without some type of
I don't know
of
why you got to keep bringing me up as the example, Shane.
You know? I mean, well, you know, there's that pre-existing relationship there.
Right.
But there has to be some reasonable belief that violence has occurred or will occur. And ultimately, that's issued by a judge. So there's going to be a strong reason to suspect that that's without that intervention, something could go wrong.
Okay, so there is a burden of evidence to overcome, which is, I mean, I would expect that, but I just, like I said, I mean, it's the kind of thing you hear about all the time, and people think they understand, and I just realized I didn't understand it, so I figured I would ask you. You're the expert. One of the other things I was going to ask you, and I just don't know the answer to this. These are my favorite questions. Three Mile Bridge is scheduled to reopen on Monday, but I'm hearing a lot from people that it might actually open as early as maybe Thursday or Friday of this week to two-lane functionality, of course, eventually four-lane at some nebulous undetermined point in the future. My question for you, though, is Santa Rosa County doesn't need Three Mile Bridge for anything that you do, and of course, Gulf Breeze PD is closer to that than even you are as the county. But will it affect you in any way other than the traffic flow over onto Avalon, or is that the big, you know, what are you thinking will be the effect on Santa Rosa Sheriff's Office when the bridge is reopened, if any?
Well, and let me preface this with the admission that I am not a traffic engineer by any stretch, but I suspect our biggest effect that we're going to see is it's going to alleviate some of that traffic on Avalon.
Okay.
You know, I don't anticipate any havoc. You know, I think things are going to get exponentially better as they get more and more of that traffic flowing in an alternate direction. I think things are going to get better.
All right. Well, I'll take that. I mean, that's good. But I just didn't know. I didn't figure that your deputies typically have much reason to go into Escambia County or vice versa. But that's what I was curious about. I mean, I know PPD and Gulf Breeze PD, they interact an awful lot over that bridge. I just didn't know if Santa Rosa County sheriffs had much use for that bridge, or if you had, I mean, even deputies that live in Pensacola that commute to work through it, or something. If there was anything like that would really affect you guys.
It's few and far between.
Okay.
We have to, for some kind of professional reason, go that route.
Okay. Hey, last quick question for you, just out of curiosity. Again, question I don't know the answer to. I was talking with a friend the other day about chases, and I know you have very particular rules about when and when not to, but the question of speed came up. And, you know, I noticed that the Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office, at least some of the officers, you guys drive some really nice cars, very fast cars.
Yeah.
Are civilian automobiles speed limited? And are yours not speed limited? How does that work?
I assume you're asking about some type of governor placed on the vehicle. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not sure what it is. I know some of our trucks have governors on them.
Okay.
Honestly, I'm not sure what the top speed of our chargers are. You know, our chargers are six-cylinder motors. Those are not the ones you see in the patrol cars. Those are six-cylinder motors.
Okay.
They're going to have normal limitations of a six-cylinder motor. I don't know if they're equipped with anything specifically to cut them off at a certain level, but, you know, they have the normal limitations.
Okay, I was just curious. Like I said, these are the kind of things that pop in my brain when I'm thinking about what your agency does. Shane Tucker, he is the Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office Chief Deputy. Chief, thank you so much for the time, as always. Thank you for keeping us safe. I'm glad that other than the one event, it was mostly a quiet week. We'll take it. We'll talk to you again next week.
Yes, sir. All right, take care, Andrew. Bye-bye.